Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zone. This is John Jacob Schmidt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I'm happy and proud to be your host. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name, too. This is another beautiful fall day in the Free Zones. Hope you guys had a blessed week this week. Here, we want to advance the cause of freedom and the spirit of liberty. And 2 Corinthians 17 says, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So, thank you guys once again. If you're listening on AM 630 or 96.5 FM out of Spokane, welcome to all of you and the rest of you in the live streaming audience, most of whom are outside the wire in the occupied zones. God bless you guys. You're in our thoughts and prayers. Hopefully, you will be able to make your way to strategically relocate to one of the free zones. I'd love to have you in the American Redoubt, if you're able to. And after you've prayerfully considered that, and it seems to be the right thing for you, but, you'd be joining hundreds or thousands, actually thousands of people who have taken the gap and, join the Patriots to strengthen this area in the Inland Pacific Northwest that we love to call the American Redoubt. All right. Now, first of all, hey, thank you guys for your support. Thank you for your letters of encouragement. It's really great to hear from you guys as much as I'm able to respond. Just got a lot of stuff going on. Very busy. Now, man, things are heating up here. We've got... Last week, I covered this new trend, or we hope it doesn't become a trend, but we suspect that it probably will be, knowing what we're up against. Leftists, Marxists, people who don't use all of their mental faculties, there's something wrong up there as far as their ability to use reasoning and logic. But now they want to deprive some people of their property, who have committed no crimes, that they say this person's committed no crimes, but now by group association, of course, they picked the perfect boogeyman. It's a neo-Nazi apparently was disarmed, at the request of the FBI, because this guy just has a lot of hate in him. And he went overseas and did some dumb things, took some pictures holding their little Adam Waffen flag at some, concentration camp sites. So bad, right? Bad person, but it's perfect for them to start with somebody that nobody's going to come to their aid, to start the first and creating precedents by disarming someone who hasn't committed a crime because they belong to a group who has a lot of hate. Now, members of that group have committed crimes and even murders in other parts of the other country or other states within the country. But yeah, this is really, really interesting, especially now that they're saying, you know, hey, anybody who speaks out against climate change or disagrees with it, those who propose defending and securing our borders, those who stand against LGBTQ rights or potential threats and dangers. And so this whole thing's just escalating. It's really pretty alarming. Now we've got another case. Now, just as soon as I finished the show last week, we got another story here. I mean, I was just getting off the air and this story broke about a Korean War veteran who had his guns confiscated when someone claimed that he made a threat. So this comes to us from the Washington Sentinel. Of course, a lot of online blogs and publications are picking this up. But it states, if you want a perfect example of why anti-gun so-called red flag laws are a bad idea, the case of a Korean War veteran, Stephen Nichols, fits the bill. Now, this event happened in September 20th. An 84-year-old school crossing guard who had a career in law enforcement and fought in the Korean War was overheard in a restaurant by a nosy waitress who claimed Nichols made a threat, quote unquote, to a school. Well, the ignorant woman reported Nichols to the police. The police then immediately swept in, arrested the man, took away all of his personal firearms, and then got him fired from the school that he was working for. It was ultimately determined that the nosy waitress misheard what Nichols said, and he was released. The school reversed its firing on October 11th. However, he was not allowed to have his personal property back despite being guilty until proven innocent. So this is what happened. A waitress, and I'm bringing this to you from the Washington Sentinel. All right, this is the first article. Full credit goes to the Washington Sentinel. Thanks, guys, for putting this together. A waitress at Linda Jean's restaurant in Oak Bluffs, Massachusetts, thought she heard Nichols threaten to shoot up the school that he worked for. What police determined was that while sitting with a friend in a restaurant, this veteran, said that his school's resource officer, who's apparently a security guard, often leaves his post and that someone could shoot up the school when he was absent. And Nichols was not saying he wanted to shoot up the school. He was saying that the security guard's absence might beg someone to perpetuate such a crime. So no threat was made at all. But this is what happened. An American citizen was falsely accused. He was incarcerated. His home was raided. He had his personal property summarily, I would say arbitrarily, confiscated, and he lost his job. This happened just like I said last week in the show, the rule of law, without depriving American citizens of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This is lawlessness. It is illegal. It's unlawful. No trial, no investigation, and no jury, no charges were brought. They just, boom, did it. So it was after he was proven innocent. Of course, you have to prove yourself innocent in these cases, which is the other just unacceptable crime here. That was the real crime. So it's very interesting. Now, we've seen a large wave lately now of sheriff's departments or sheriffs and police chiefs stating they will not enforce these new sweeping illegal firearms laws that got passed in so many states in the last legislature, especially with red flag laws. They're clearly unconstitutional. And there's the stories abound. I mean, just from this year, here it is. Colorado sheriffs will not comply with red flag laws. That's from 2A News, as in Second Amendment News. More than half of Colorado counties say we will not comply. And that's at rallyforourrights.com. Chaffee County Spezzi has pledged that he will not enforce the red flag law or ask any of his law enforcement officers to enforce it. It's a big step in the right direction, the article states. Another one, Maryland. Maryland County Sheriff says he will not comply with these. In fact, he said it would be a suicide mission. This is the sheriff in Maryland after the sweeping gun control laws. Sheriff Lewis in Maryland said that sending out police to take guns away from law-abiding citizens will likely cause citizens to shoot at law enforcement officers. The sheriff said he would not comply with any of the proposed laws that would require his deputies to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. So now, I covered this when that first happened, when this story first came out earlier this year. The correct response would be, I'm not going to send my deputies out to disarm law-abiding citizens because the law-abiding citizens might shoot at my deputies. No. The correct wording is I'm not going to have them do that because it would be a violation of their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and that would be a violation of the Constitution. And secondly, as an afterthought, oh yeah, that's a good way to get my officers killed. So yeah, I'm not going to comply with that. So I'm grateful for our law enforcement officers, our peace officers out there who want to maintain the peace and uphold the rule of law and not be in conflict with the higher law, the supreme law, which is the state constitutions, and then higher than that, the federal constitution of the United States. So in Washington state, we have Chief Lauren Culp, God bless him, said he is instructing his officers up in Republic not to enforce I-1639 after it became law. And he wrote a book about this, and he's traveled. I've met him a couple times. Just a great man, a great patriot. And now he's running for public office. He's running for, I believe, I'd have to check, state rep? I can't remember now, but I'll look that up. But now he's running for office. He's got a lot of support behind him. And there's other articles. 13 Washington state sheriffs will not enforce I-1639. Of course, this gets the leftists who have operational control of the government, the governor, the attorney general, and all of them at the top are all just hardcore leftists. So the Seattle Times was all happy to quote, basically run this ad saying that the attorney general, Bob Ferguson, said county sheriffs who say they won't enforce Washington's new stricter gun laws, their unconstitutional laws, could be held liable if they refuse to perform enhanced background checks and someone who shouldn't buy a gun ends up getting a gun. So they could be held liable. Not the criminal, but the sheriff will be held liable. And this is their mentality. This is strange. Now, what's puzzling to me is how arbitrary they choose what law enforcement laws apply to law enforcement and which ones don't. I mean, if you're going to pass a law stating that it is illegal, which it is now in Washington state, illegal to have a firearm that could be accessible by somebody who's not authorized to have a gun to get their hands on it. Like if you leave your rifle in your truck, okay, even if you lock up your truck, well, they could break the window and get that firearm. And so it's not locked up. It's not considered secure. And so that's a crime in and of itself. Even if nobody breaks into your truck and get your rifle. Well, these sheriffs are saying that's absolutely preposterous. It's unconstitutional. And we're not going to enforce these laws. But they say, oh, you'll be held accountable, liable. Well, why don't you just exempt them from that? Because, I mean, look, law enforcement are exempt from wearing seatbelts. They're exempt from talking on cell phones while driving in their vehicles. They're exempt from bans on having automatic weapons. So there's a lot of things that the people are not allowed to do, but law enforcement are exempt. So why don't you just exempt them from this? Now, I do have a problem with that. The government should not be exempt from the laws that they hold over the people, and the Founding Fathers had a lot to say about that. I can't think of any quotes right off the top of my head, but I know them. They're in my heart. How's that? So, Washington laws would hold somebody criminally liable if an unauthorized person gets their hands on your gun, and hold you liable without even committing a crime. But they're kind of in the business of creating criminals, aren't they? But see, there's another crime here that they're not talking about and they don't want to admit. And that is a violation of state law, Title 43 of the Revised Code of Washington. Section 4301.020, which says, which covers the oath of office. The governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, treasurer, auditor, attorney general, Bob Ferguson, superintendent of public instruction, commissioner of public lands, and insurance commissioner shall, before entering upon the duties of their respective offices, take and subscribe an oath or affirmation in substance as follows. And this is what they have to, this is their oath. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and the laws of the state of Washington, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office, whatever their office is, to the best of my ability. Now, that's the oath that they have to take. And here's the order: that they will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and the laws. Well, they are enforced. They are upholding and defending. I support the laws. This gun law. Well, hold on. The law that you're supporting cannot be in conflict with the higher law. And it cannot be in conflict with the Constitution of your state, which it is. And actually, the right to bear arms is actually pretty weak in the Washington State Constitution. But the United States Constitution is abundantly clear, and your laws cannot be in conflict with the Constitution of the United States. But they are, and you're enforcing it now. So here's something else. Let's talk about oaths. When we come back from the break, there's something else. They want to talk about upholding the law. Well, maybe there's some other laws we need to be taking a look at upholding. Of course, who holds them accountable? Who prosecutes them? When you're looking, when you're talking about the attorney general, this is a tough one. But Washington, you got your own swamp to drain. And, well, maybe Liberty State's the answer. I don't know of another solution for taking care of Olympia. But anyway, I'm going to talk about that and more. And boy, the heated sheriff race in Kootenai County. My goodness. Among the Patriots, there is sharp differences of opinions and emotions are running high. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
Adams said, "If you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen." These bold words were a scathing rebuke against his fellow countrymen, who preferred to let tyranny prevail for a few handouts from the crown. I echo Mr. Adams' timeless sentiments. Sadly, today, we are once again surrounded by fellow countrymen who have lost their will to continue in the contest of freedom and have determined to become slaves for the tranquil lives they hold more dear than the liberty they've squandered. And as an American, I struggle to call them my countrymen. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Welcome back to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Segment one was brought to you by the Patriot-owned business Werks Holsters. That's WERKZ.com. And they are located in the heart of the American Redoubt, and they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. So check them out at Werks.com. Now, segment two, this segment is brought to you by our friends at Riverfront Suites, which is about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene, on the St. Joe River in the beautiful little town of St. Mary's. And the fall colors are staggering right now. They're just absolutely unbelievable. This is a beautiful time to go see the St. Joe, drive up the St. Joe River. If you get a chance to do that, then go ahead and do so. And hey, stay the night at Riverfront Suites. Support some Patriots. Okay. Now, in this segment, I want to go back to what we were talking about with the oath. Okay, they got to take an oath. Big deal. Nobody follows their oath. Really? Well, why not? Because we have provisions for it. In Revised Code of Washington, 9.81.070, I come across this beautiful little gem. It's eligibility in inquiries and the oath. Well, let's read on, because you're not going to hear too many people talking about this. Every person in every board, commission, council, department, court, or other agency of the state of Washington, or any political subdivision thereof, or who which appoints or employs, supervises in any manner in the appointment of employment of public officials, employees, shall establish by rules, regulations, blah, blah, blah. But let's move on. Get down a little bit further to the really good part. Every such person, okay, now they have to take an oath. Now listen to this. Every such person, board, commission, council, department, court, or other agency shall require every employee or applicant for employment to state under oath whether or not he or she is a member of the Communist Party or other subversive organization, and refusal to answer on any grounds shall be cause for immediate termination of such employee's employment or for the refusal to accept his or her application for employment. That would wipe out about half of Washington State's government from the top down. Well, at least at the top. Would it not? I mean, they have to swear by oath. They have to make a statement under oath whether or not he or she is a member of the Communist Party or other subversive organization. Can we think of a subversive organization that's full of communists, Marxists, socialists, who are trying to displace the rule of law, the United States, and the state's constitutions, and ignore them, snub their noses at them, and come up with an entirely new set of governance, which is in conflict with our law? Isn't that subversion? Isn't that subversive? And what are some of the organizations pushing this? How about people in our government that are wearing Antifa pins on their lapels in Olympia? Seriously. I mean, they need to wipe a whole bunch of people off the payrolls in Washington State. It's infested with it. And that's Washington Revised Code of Washington 9.81.070. Let's see what we can do about cleaning some house, right? But see, in Idaho, it's beautiful. We're talking about all the Washington State officers and police officers and sheriffs who refuse to violate their oaths and to violate the law, as in the Constitution, by enforcing unlawful laws, is a beautiful thing. But this is the kind of people we want in these positions. We've got an opportunity now, and the heart of the American Redoubt is targeted, has been targeted by leftists to try to infiltrate it with posers, those posing as Republicans, but they're not. They're not conservatives. They're just trying to get in there because they need to take down the most conservative red of the red counties and states, and then the rest go down like dominoes. But see, it is a redoubt. It is a stronghold where the patriots and conservative values are holding strong. And this is why they're targeting. But this is a beautiful thing. You guys remember in 2015 when the VA backed down because of the sheriff in Bonner County, Sheriff Darrell Wheeler? I was there on that day when about 100 people, including Representative Heather Scott, Representative Matt Shea, multiple pastors, the sheriff, Darrell Wheeler, and other law enforcement personnel showed up and said, we're not going to allow this veteran to be disarmed because he had something changed where he had to have somebody doing his finances. And so they said, well, if you can't take care of your own affairs, you can't own a firearm. So the VA guy was on his way out to this U.S. Navy veteran John Arnold's home in Priest River, where he was met with a whole bunch of patriots, elected officials, pastors, and the sheriff, and said, you're not going to disarm him. That is a beautiful thing. We're live streaming updates and everything on that, but that was just a glorious moment. So Kootenai County has an opportunity to elect a constitutional sheriff, and this is going to be quite a contest coming up. There was someone just posted. I mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, I was saying, you know, I went down this list and I'm just the messenger. All right. This was a report, the first report that I've seen from some research by folks over there who are trying to just do some preliminary work on what do we know about these candidates who are claiming to be conservatives or Republicans and going down the list. It didn't look very favorable for many of them. But admittedly, it was not complete, and some of it was not in context. It was just preliminary report. I just shared what I had. I just read it almost verbatim, except at the end I said, John Green's got my vote. He's a constitutional guy. I like him, and I do like him. He's a good man. He is actually the state legislator representative. And so he's going to resign and then run for sheriff. Now, there's a big debate over that, whether or not that should take place. Now, since then, I've gotten to meet and have been corresponding with some of these candidates because I want to get to know them more myself. And there are definitely some good patriots. Some are more qualified than others. Some have stronger stances on some things than the others and vice versa. So I'm going to withhold judgment and I'm going to withhold any endorsements at this time. Not to say John Green is not worthy of a vote. I'm saying there are other people who are solid that I have met and spoken with. One in particular was Mr. Whitehead. I got to meet him and his undersheriff and a third retired sheriff's deputy. Solid guys, Christian, patriot guys. And I want to get inside their head and find out. I want to protect the heart of the American Redoubt. And this is a golden opportunity. And he's a good man. A lot of the stuff was not, it was not presented in context, and I got that. I'm talking to Grimm as well, another good man, solid patriot. So we've got a lot to sort through, and I will make a determination, but not at this time. And I'll share that with you guys. You guys know my heart, right? So we'll do that. And this is going to be very interesting. But we do got some good people to choose from. We want to choose the right one for the job because we got one shot at this. So, hey, let's do this prayerfully and look at the information objectively and not make any determinations prematurely. How's that sound? All right, guys, I'm out of time. Join me tomorrow night. We got some really killer stuff to go over, the coming Civil War and what maybe we could do about it in our local communities. Some advice from Sam Culper. Anyway, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. You guys have a blessed rest of the weekend. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too.